I thank the Lord for my wife and the team that they have up here putting all of this together. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to dismiss our children, and our young people are going to go to their respective places. And so if you're a teenager, you need to follow them right there. They've got good news for you. If you were a teenager, you're with me. Hallelujah. Tuesday night's our Sunday school. Praise God. Hallelujah. While everybody's finding their way, let us go to the scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39. Matthew 10 and verse 39. We'll open with that tonight for our Bible study. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, this is not talking about anyone dying or anything like that. Let me dissect it a little bit for you, give you some understanding. He that findeth his life. Findeth in this particular scripture is defined by founder. Who is the founder of your life? Who is the life giver, the life taker? And we know that's God. But if there's anybody that wants to pretend that they have their own lives in control, you're going to lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake. What does this mean? How do you lose your life? You surrender it. He that surrenders his life to me shall find it. Real life, true life, the right life. Amen? Praise God. I hope that helped. And so, what we're going to talk about tonight is it's a fresh idea, and I wrote it on a piece of paper. They didn't put it on the screen, and I forgot what I wrote. Help me out, brother. Tell me. General holiness, or holiness in general. Holiness in general. We're not going to go into a lot of detail tonight, although we will in the very near future, because this is a subject that we always cover in detail throughout the fall and the winter months, and that's coming. But I just felt tonight to tag in on the subject of holiness. Amen. Please don't call it Pentecostal if nothing inside is Pentecostal. If there's no Pentecostal praise, no Pentecostal worship, no one speaking in tongues anywhere at all, ever. Hello? That's not Pentecost. And don't call it holiness if there's no holiness. Hello? Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, you know, I want it to be Pentecostal. I want it to be holiness. I want it to be apostolic. What does apostolic mean? Apostolic means just like the apostles taught it. Why do we want to go by what the apostles taught? Because they were taught firsthand by Jesus Christ. And have a greater teacher than that. Amen? And he told them to go and preach and teach every nation. And so I'm going to let them teach me as well. I think that's a good policy. Praise the Lord. And so there's nothing new under the sun. So why create a new denomination today? Why create a new church, a new religion, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. There is a truth, and we need to find that truth and sell it not. That's scripture. Amen. And I'm not saying that we have a corner on the truth, because I don't believe we do. I still believe that there's revelation that we need. I believe there's revelation and there's truth that we can perceive and believe and act upon. But you got to have a hunger for that. You got to have a thirst for that. The Bible says, seek and you shall. But if you're not hungry, you're not going to seek. If you don't seek, you're not going to find. All right. So let's talk about holiness in general. And and see what the word of the Lord says to us tonight. Master, we call on your name, seek your face and your favor, and we ask you to bless every individual that's here tonight to hear the word of the Lord, comprehend the word of the Lord, and act upon the word of the Lord. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. It is not just hearing the word, but it's the engrafted word. Let the word be engrafted in you. Amen. Become a part of the word and let the word become a part of you. Praise the Lord. One subject that I have preached on in the past is the bondage of freedom and the freedom of bondage. And you say, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. And that's why I give you titles like that, so you listen for it to make sense. But there is a bondage of sort in what the world is calling freedom. And there is a freedom as such in what the Word of God would say is our bondage. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. He said, what? Know you not that your body, everybody say my body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, and everybody say it was a high price. Therefore, glorify God where? Just in your heart? Just in your mind? Just in your spirit? Do you see what I see? Glorify God. In other words, let God be glorified. Let God, let it shine. Let it show forth. Let it be seen. What? Where? God in your body. Who is it that says it doesn't matter what you do with your body as long as your heart is right? Show me that in Scripture and I'll preach it tonight. I can show you where the opposition argues that the Word of God says man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. Well, if God is looking on the inside, shouldn't we show man what God's looking at? Somebody help me. Shouldn't we show mankind what God is looking at? Absolutely. I believe the song when it says, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. My Bible says that we will have a new body when we're born again. And so this is talking about the body. It says nothing about the heart, the spirit, and all of that. Amen. So the body is a part of the new thing that happens when we're born again. And it's not an overnight sensation. It's a lifetime relation. And so it starts from the day that you're born again. And you hear the preaching, you hear the song, you read the word, conviction settles in, you begin to change, you begin to morph into what God actually wants you to be. You look back years later and say, look what the Lord has done. In other words, you're saying, I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Right? Ever changing. Ever becoming better for the glory of God. Amen. Just because you made a trip to the altar or signed a confession somewhere, that doesn't mean that's the end of the... That's a very, very, very beginning of a relationship with God. Amen. And so, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, he's dealing with two different entities as a part of humankind, and that is your outward, your body, and your inward, your spirit. Praise the Lord. Please catch this, because you'll never hear it many other places, because men of God, preachers, if you will, have given up in the fight for holiness. every denomination, every creed of religion, years ago preached and teached what I'm talking about tonight. And many of them gave up the fight because there was so much resistance from the pew against the pulpit. But I believe the Lord has given us enough Holy Ghost to hold on to holiness. One gentleman told the story, and I just never forgot it. And he said he was talking about holiness to a fella. And he said, it's in the Bible. And he said, well, I'm just going to go home and rip out everything in the Bible that has anything to do with holiness. And that, whatever's left, that's what I'm going to believe. He sat in front of his fireplace and began to peel the pages and throw them in the fire. Before it was all said and done, the inside of his Bible case was in the binder. Inside of the Bible, the binders, it was empty. Because it seemed like every book had something to say about holiness. And he closed it, and lo and behold, on the outside of the Bible, it said, Holy God. And so, if you're going to throw holiness away, you're going to have to throw your whole Bible away. I had a lady tell me one time that I was witnessing to her. She said, oh yeah, I heard about that church. She said, and this was way back in the 90s. I was door knocking and witnessing and asking folks to come to church. And when you got 12, 14 people in your church, you got time to go out and do some door knocking, man, pass out some tracts. And I was out there doing that, teaching home Bible studies and having a good time. And she looked at me and she said, it's the 90s. I just want to look back at her and say, what's your opinion? Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change him, honey. He changes you. Praise the Lord. And so what Paul is saying is that there's a bondage in freedom. But there's a freedom in bondage. Paul was the one that said, I am a prisoner of Christ. Oh, my word. There it is. So, yeah, that's what he said. He said, I am a prisoner of Christ. I am locked in to everything he wants for me, wants to do to me. I'm locked into everything he wants to do around me, how he wants to lead me, guide me, and direct me. I'm locked into it all. I am a prisoner of Christ. And that prisoner that lost his freedom, saw blinded eyes open, saw dead people rise from the dead. That prisoner wrote over half the New Testament. That prisoner set the world on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to where he could have been free out there in the world away from God, and you would have never heard his name. So what do we want tonight? We want the freedom of bondage. The bondage of freedom. I am free in Christ to do whatever he wants me to do. I gave that to him. Amen. I gave that to him. I didn't have to give him anything. And so when I got the opportunity, I gave him everything. And so when your life is in your own hands, satisfaction just is out of reach. You'll never be satisfied because the world is not satisfied. And you catch a hold of what the styles are. You catch a hold of what everybody's driving. And Carson and I, we saw a young couple in a new truck the other day, in a new trailer, and two new four-wheelers. And I just cringed. I thought, I saw how young they were, and I just cringed, and I said, oh man, that poor credit card and all that interest and all those fussing and fuming and fighting. I told you not to buy it. I know you told me not to buy it, but you didn't convince me. And on and on and on. All that's coming because they took their liberty and their freedom and bought what they wanted to. May not ever happen, but it's what I felt. amen, to where others, they got a hold of God and they said, Lord, I can't afford that stuff. And I'll just get by with what I can get by with because you're enough. Now, who's free and who's bound? Am I making sense yet? Amen. So when your life is in your own hands, satisfaction is just out of reach. Because everything changes. You get the styles right, and then the styles change. And you got to buy everything new. You got to look like something different, and you got to act like something different. And eventually, you're nothing like you were. And in the future, you're not anything like you are today. And nobody has anything settled, seated, and grounded. Amen. I'd just rather be a prisoner of Christ. When your life is that way. God tried it with Adam. He said, Adam, okay, here it is. Do what you want to do. You just can't eat of this tree. Next thing you know, God's talking to Adam, saying, where art thou? Adam's hiding in the bushes because he realizes he's naked. They didn't even know that before. The Lord hid all that kind of stuff from them. What did he do? Ate from that one tree. Couldn't see the forest for the tree. He could eat anywhere he wanted to eat, but that one tree just did him in. I know we've only got one devil to fight, but listen, if you let him, he'll do you in. There's got to be some submission to God. And then there's got to be some submission to what he desires from us. What he hungers for. What he wants to do with us. How he wants to lead us and guide us. What he wants to teach us and share with us. And all of that. Amen. Hallelujah. And so another man tried it with an unhappy son. When he came to his dad and he said, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want my inheritance now, and I'm leaving this place, and I'm tired of being bound to it. I'm tired of being bound to working like I work and being who I am. I'm tired of acting like, looking like, dressing like, walking, talking like I am, and I'm ready for something different. Dad, give it to me. So dad gave it to him. He left. Squandered everything. Long story short, the Bible says he wound up eating hog food out of the trough with the pigs that he had to serve. But he was free. Do anything he wanted to do. Am I right? But at his father's house, there were rules, just like there is in this father's house. Finally, he woke up to his own senses and he said, even my father's hired servants have it better than this. And so I shall arise and go back to my father's house. I know there's not a lot of us here tonight. People have called, they had to work late and all that kind of thing. But listen, you're here and I'm here. And that's just enough to make up our minds that we're going to stay right here in the Father's house. I mean, we can buck up and say, hey, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I know it's in the Word of God. I read it myself, but I'm not going to do that. I can't stand for that. That's not me. Da, 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 da. And you make your way back out there. And there's others that have made their way back out there. And God granted grace and they got back in here. You need to hear from them before you go back out there, because it's worse when you go back out there than it was when you were originally out there. Amen. If I were you, I'd make my mind up to be a prisoner of Christ. Locked into the holiness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord, the mercy and the grace of God, the miracle signs and wonders of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. Right? Amen. So he wound up back home. Amen. The ultimate end to freedom, as the world knows freedom, is a deep mental, physical, and spiritual bondage. So many of multimillionaires, well, Robin Williams just recently committed suicide. You can't tell me he didn't have a good life. He was free to do whatever he wanted, to go where he wanted to go, buy whatever he wanted to buy, and he takes his own life. Now you tell me that's freedom. I wish I could have gotten to him and tell him, why don't you take that life and give it to Jesus? He knows exactly what to do with it. The prodigal son said, I'd rather go home and be a servant than to be out here in freedom. Did he not say that? David said in Psalms 84 and 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Isn't that powerful? Amen. And David knew what he was talking about. There's no problem with the Word. There is no problem with the truth of God's Word. And, ladies and gentlemen, there's no problem with God. The problem in general is the world wants to become so churchy. Everybody's saved. Have you noticed that? It's hard to have outreach nowadays. Everybody's saved. Amen. So we have a lot of submarine Christians. They surface for Easter and Christmas. And so it is. But nobody's a sinner anymore, because you can't tell the difference between a churchy world and a worldly church. There's no change in here from what they are out there, and there's no change out there from what they are in here. That should not be. When they see us, they need to see change, because that's what they need. When they hear us, they need to hear change, because that's what they need. When they look in the church, they need to see a church with change, because that's exactly what they need. We don't need to be like them to win them. They need to come out from among them, saith the Lord, and be ye separate. That's what the Word of God says. So he said, you are mine and not the world's. The voice of the prodigal son's own conscience spoke to him and said, aren't you tired of freedom? Freedom's about to kill you, buddy. Look where freedom's gotten you. Why don't you go back and ask your daddy if you could be one of his servants, because they've got it better than this free world. I want the Lord to look at me and say, I'm not ashamed to be called his God. I know we're not ashamed of the Lord, but you know, I don't want him to be ashamed of me either. We're not in bondage as you suppose. I chose to be a Christian. People want to make fun of you ladies. People want to laugh and carry on a bunch of nonsense. Why don't you look back at them and say, look, I chose to be a Christian. You didn't choose to be a sinner. So who's in bondage? The Bible says we are born in sin, shapen by iniquity. And that's why the Scripture says we must be born again. What you're seeing is nothing strange. We've just been born again. We are now a new creature than from what we were. Amen. Amen. And so, Paul, don't be conformed. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a freedom that comes with giving God your heart, your soul, your mind, and yes, your body, your life. I don't have to be understood, and I'll just say it like the songs. I don't have to understand. I just need to hold his hand, because his ways are so much higher than my ways. Amen. A person that has to understand every little thing is a person that wants God and control of their lives at the same time. Well, you can't have it, because this is a faith walk. We're not going to understand everything overnight, but in time, we will. So, what does the song say? I got a lot of songs going on here tonight. What does it say? It says, turn it over to Jesus and you'll smile the rest of the day. There's people here that could go back on God anytime you want to. There's nothing holding us except commitment. There's nothing holding us except servanthood. There's nothing holding us except for the fact that we have decided we want to serve the Lord, and Him only will we serve. We could go drink, we can go get drunk, we can go pop and snort and toke and choke, and we can lose our families, and we can snort our paychecks, and we can shoot up our paychecks, we can squander and gamble and carry on like the world does and lose everything, and just anytime we want to. But we found out what freedom does to you. And then we found out what being bound to Jesus Christ can do for you. Amen. Amen. And so, we'd rather be in bondage. In bondage to the joy of the Lord. Why do you want to be in bondage to joy? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'd rather be in bondage to peace. Wouldn't it be nice to just have peace of mind? Peace in your heart. Peace like a river that flows. Amen. I've found that peace. Amen. I'd rather be in bondage to truth. He is the truth. He's the life. He's the way. Amen. And so I'd rather be in bondage to Him. I'd rather be in bondage to holy living than loose living and compromised living and just living any old way I want to live. I'd rather be in bondage to godliness, holiness in general. Amen. Some of you, when you came to God, I'm going to be honest with you, just a few weeks later, you looked 10 years younger. How many of you have ever seen a backslider come back? And you're going to say with me, they look 50 years older because of what life does to them. So it is. But you know, when we come back to God, or when we surrender to God, that's just a pardon. You see, this world's not our home. I remember Sister Stratton. 3 years and 8 months she battled with cancer. Let me just tell you this. If you will be with Him when you're healthy, He will walk with you when you're sick. I know what I'm talking about. If you will just commit yourself to walk with Him when you're healthy, promise you He'll walk with you when you're sick. 3 years and 8 months, cancer. And she read her Bible 5 times. She memorized over 100 faith scriptures. And then she passed away. But here's the way everyone looked at it, herself included. A prisoner has been truly set free. Bound to this old body, bound to age, bound to life things, bound to financial things, bound to sicknesses. And then finally the Lord that walked with her through that disease finally said, honey, let's just go home. And the prisoner was completely set free. Now that's freedom. And that's the freedom I want. Does anybody else want that? Let's stand to our feet. Let's lift our hands. And let us worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for speaking to us as He has spoken to us tonight. Through the Spirit, we have heard Him loudly. We have heard Him clearly. This is more than a frivolous relationship. This is more than frivolous believing. This is a relationship that goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Amen. I want to be that prisoner of Christ that has once been set free, finally, once and for all. Amen. The bottom line is to hear the Lord say, I am not ashamed to be called His God. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. Why does He call me a servant? Because I'm a prisoner of Christ. and it is an honor to serve Him. I don't care what this world thinks about it. I don't care what they think about it. I don't care how they feel about it. They can feel, think, and talk any way they want to. But to me and my house, it is an honor to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I was called to preach. I wouldn't want to be a king. Amen. How about you? Are you glad to be a servant of Christ? Why don't we close our eyes just kind of oyster tight? And as you lift your hands, lift your hearts with them and thank the Lord for the privilege and the chance, for the opportunity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise Him tonight for His goodness. Praise Him tonight for His mercy. Praise Him tonight for His blessing. Praise Him tonight for His anointing that breaks every yoke and bondage of sin and sickness. Hallelujah. Lord, we love You and honor You. Thank You and praise You. Worship You and exalt You. Glorify and magnify the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus. We pray Your will be done in our lives as we venture to go closer, as we venture to go deeper, and as we venture to become even more of a prisoner of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. As you're dismissed in Jesus' name.